the night before he died. He took ordinary bread, pronounced over the bread, "This is my body." Took a chalice of wine, "This is the chalice of my blood." And then, those most important words, after having himself changed bread and wine into his own living flesh and blood, he told his apostles, "Do this in commemoration of me." And the church is defined that it was then that Christ ordained the apostles. I try to trace my ordination as far back as I could. I got to the 17th century, tracing the bishops, you know, the bishop who ordained me, Bishop Paul Schulte of Indianapolis, you know, who ordained him. Went back, I got back to the 17th century, and you know, my research ran out. But if I had the time and took the trouble, I could trace my ordination to what? To the Last Supper. Pray that we priests believe and continue believing that our ordination goes back to the Last Supper on Holy Thursday night, because by ordaining the apostles and giving them the power to ordain other bishops, who in turn can ordain other bishops and priests, that is why we have the Holy Eucharist. Saint Francis of Assisi, who knows whether Saint Francis was a priest or not? Who knows? He was not a priest. My mother was a Franciscan tertiary. One of her regrets is she told me, "John, why didn't you become a Franciscan?" Well, I never reassured her that I did the best thing. I said, "Mother, I did the next best thing." I gave her some consolation. But St. Francis was never ordained a priest. You know why? He did not consider himself worthy of ordination. We don't have too many writings of St. Francis. Very few. But he says, and he couldn't be clearer, the only reason, listen to this, that Jesus Christ is now on earth is because priests have the power of changing bread and wine into the living Christ. Back to Our Lady. Except for her. And now we go back to the Annunciation. Except for Mary, God might have done it otherwise. Could he have redeemed the world? Could God have redeemed the world without becoming man? Could he?
Yes.
Of course. An act of his will. Could he, having decided to become man, could he have redeemed the world without becoming mortal and being able to suffer and die? Of course. Having chosen to become man, and a mortal man who was able to suffer and die, could he have come into the world without having to be conceived of a woman and being born? Could he?
Yes.
Of course. The same God who created Adam did not need Mary to create Jesus. Make sense? He could have. He didn't. God decided that he would allow his coming into the world as man to depend on a woman's will. And whether I'm speaking all woman audience or all man audience, or as in this case, both men and women. Women have a powerful will. The world depends far more on the will of women than men will ever know until eternity. Except for the first Eve, well, Adam might have sinned otherwise, but de facto he didn't. And except for the second Eve, who was Our Lady, God might have become man in a different way. He didn't. He depended on the will of a woman. I've just been asked to review a very fine book called The Church and Women. I'm not even sure it's published already by Ignatius Press. I recommend it. There are 15 authors, 15 short chapters, including Conda Ratzinger as a chapter. The feminist movement has a lot to teach us, a lot to teach us. When I was in Tulsa, Oklahoma, I've got to remind myself, I spoke on the subject of women and the future of the church. If the salvation of the world, by God's will, depended on a woman's will surrendering to the will of God, I don't hesitate saying that the continued salvation of the world depends on women learning from Mary. The feminist movement has a lot, an awful lot to teach us. In God's name, let us wake up to the power that we have. But it is especially you women, a deep, strong faith, a love of Mary, and a love of her Son, except for whom there wouldn't be any Christianity. St. Augustine coined the phrase that I keep repeating over the years, Caro Jesu, Caro Maria, the flesh of Jesus is the flesh of Mary. That's where he got it. He's really here. What is the first recorded conversation in Christ's public ministry when he began his public preaching and teaching? What's the first recorded conversation we have between Jesus and his mother? Who remembers? Please? At Cana in Galilee. Remember the occasion? A wedding. They ran out of wine. The men might have growled or complained, where's the wine? But instead of saying, well, it served them right, they shouldn't have drunk so much. What did Our Lady do? She looked up her son and told him, they've run out of wine. Then even told her to emphasize what he knew what he was going to do. Mother, thanks for the suggestion. I know what you're asking for. Of course, I can provide them with wine. But Mother, I've got all kinds of miracles that I'm planning to perform. But no, you don't want me to start. Oh, no, Mother. Are you telling me to have the first miracle that I will work to change water into wine? But she knew her son. By the way, he would not have allowed her to make that statement unless he wanted to. Okay? He was her God. And as the poet says, the water looked at its God and blushed. Well, it's the same Jesus. What we need in our lives, maybe far more important than providing enough wine for the guests at a wedding feast. You have your trials, I can assure you. Thank God, I have mine. And I like to repeat with my confrere, St. John Berkman's, when he was asked before he died, almost his last conscious statement, what has been your greatest trial in life, your biggest mortification? He never hesitated. My biggest trial in life, my hardest mortification, was living with my fellow Jesuits. Just living with people can be hard. And they can be nice people most of the time. Oh, Father, a wife tells me, you should be living with my husband. Mabel, I don't need to live with your husband. I'm living with my Jesuit brethren. And it may well be, that what we need to ask of our Lord is a miracle. All right. So what's the problem? Sometimes I tell people, when was the last miracle you asked our Lord to perform in your life? Father, would you please be serious? I'm serious. It's the same Jesus. He worked miracles from as prosaic a miracle as changing water into wine, to as dramatic a miracle as telling Lazarus to come out of the grave. By the way, you know Lazarus coming out of the grave, that was a miracle already because he was all wrapped up. How he got out of the grave, he couldn't walk out because all it takes is faith. And the faith that Mary had, she had no doubt. As the angel already told her, remember at Nazareth, the child to be born of you will be the Son of the Most High. Then Elizabeth, remember, how is it that the mother of my Lord should come to be? she had no doubt whom she was carrying during her pregnancy, whom she gave birth to in Bethlehem, and under whose cross she was standing on Calvary. But she believed. And that's why, since the first century, Saturday has always been Mary's day, the day of faith. The only one whose faith never wavered between Good Friday and Easter Sunday was the faith of Mary. Lord Jesus, we believe you are the living God become man, the Son of Mary, living in our midst. Help us, dear Savior, to believe with something of the faith of your mother, so that believing in you without seeing you here on earth in the Holy Eucharist, we might see you and enjoy you and never be separated from you in that everlasting Eucharist for which we were made. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thanks.